from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I want some trophies, and he is of the Marcelo Bielsa vein, of those values, and that is showcasing talent. How much of that talent he will have to showcase here is up for debate, but certainly when you look at the stops, to only come away with one piece of silverware, and it'd be at the place where everybody, Sebi, I could put you at PSG and you coach them to a league untitled, because that's what you're supposed to do if you're PSG. This is what you're supposed to do if you have a team with a Neymar, with an Mbappe, with a Messi. You're supposed to at least win that trophy. That's what he's got to show for it. So I am very reserved when it comes to these romantic coaches, but certainly this ticks a lot of boxes.
Soccer world begins to react. We've got Bills preseason on the way today. Practice 1 o'clock, joint practice. Sean McDermott to meet with the media 12:30. Sal's covering practice, get you updates throughout the day. Preseason game with the Steelers Saturday night. Joining us on the Wester Hotline, live from Barcelona, the international mystery man that he is, Nick Mendola, friend of the show, intrepid soccer reporter, among other things.
What is it, noon there, Nick?
No. What time is it, Lacey? Oh, it's like 3?
Okay.
Three,
oh, way later.
Oh, it's okay. Is it siesta? Is that you? That's why you know what time it is? Time to take, everybody takes a nap around there? Anyway.
No, but I did go to a chain today. I did not indulge, but it was called, let's call it Taco Ding. And at Taco Ding, they had 2 beers and a quesadilla for €5. Oh. And I just imagine in college in the United States, I would have never left.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Nick Mendola of NBC Sports Soccer, of course, FC Buffalo as well. All right, Nick, so let's get to it. Pochettino, this is, he's pretty good, right? He's definitely well-regarded. And if we're coming at it from the standard of the U.S. men's program and the coaches that they've had, how big an upgrade? How big a fish did they land here?
It's a huge fish. It is something that is remarkable because of the reluctance they've shown to do anything but hire their friends. And there's a, you know, when you look around at the trophies that have been won, one of the knocks you always hear is, oh, well, in international football, what you see is, you know, you don't win a World Cup or you don't win a Copa America or you don't win a Euro if that coach isn't from where you're from. I'm like, well, the other thing is the teams that win those tournaments have a rich football culture. So, yeah, sure, maybe France needs a Frenchman to win a trophy, or maybe it's just that they're France. You know, same thing with Spain. And in Pochettino's case, you're talking about someone who took Tottenham, and this is no shot against Tottenham, although I know Jeremy would like to take some. It took Tottenham to the Champions League. That revolutionized what they were doing. He took Southampton to another level. I think most reasonable Chelsea fans will think what he did there last year was acceptable. And I heard, I think it was Seb Salazar, was the sound you guys were playing before coming back in. Yeah, look, he only won one trophy with PSG. But PSG measures themselves on trying to win the Champions League, and they haven't done it yet. And he's one of a million guys who hasn't done it. So I think this is a big step for the U.S., who have stepped outside their comfort zone. And, you know, it feels a lot like that quote-unquote small-market American sports team who goes out and spends big to get the right guy, or who they believe to be the right guy.
Yeah. When it comes to Pochettino, he had some moment in Tottenham. Hasn't he left the places he's been under strange circumstances from time to time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he always wants investment. But that, again, this is something that when I argued, I think I talked to Joe about this, about how badly we wanted Jurgen Klopp to get the job. Mm-hmm. The idea is here, this is a golden opportunity. I think any coach would at least have a modicum of interest in it, because you're talking about the World Cup's in the summer of 2026. It is the summer of 2024. You're taking 2 years out of your career to be coaching at a World Cup on home soil, and most host teams at least make it out of the knockout rounds via being a seeded team in their group. So I think it's really attractive for him. And if you look at maybe what he's done or the way he's exited, he's only going to see these guys once every 2 months, really, until the World Cup. Next summer, there will be, I honestly haven't even looked this up yet, but I'm assuming there's a Gold Cup. That will be the longest prolonged exposure he'll have to a bunch of young guys who are going to be put into a system and too busy learning to be angry with them. So, I mean, I think it's a safe bet for the coach. It's an expensive but safe bet for the federation. I'm really excited about it.
What do you have on him in terms of style and like what you'd expect them to look like as a team once he implements everything?
Yeah, it'll be cohesive. It'll be a little bit mechanical. And, you know, how that will work when you have some terrific attacking players like Pulisic and Reyna, Flo Balogun. It could be a little stop-start at times, but frankly, what you were getting with Greg Berhalter was just the hope that Christian Pulisic would create something, because their attacking ideas under Berhalter were very poor, especially against big teams. So what to expect under Pochettino will be, you know, guys, honestly, I think it depends on whether or not he views this team as having satisfactory defenders. Does he like Chris Richards, Tim Ream, Walker Zimmerman, whoever? You know, does he believe in, you know, that he has a guy, whether it be Musa or McKennie or if Tyler Adams is healthy, that can hold down the middle of the team? We'll learn a lot about how world-class manager feels about what we deem to be a golden generation of young American talent.
One thing about this particular type of job, Nick, I mean, it's a national team's job, and sometimes I think about like the term. How long should it be for? When you're accepting a job like this, maybe, I don't know, for me it strikes me different than like any old pro club where there's just so much turnover because the events are so far spaced apart, right? Like he's got the job till the World Cup, which is at least 2 years. And then if it goes well, it's on and on. And I wonder, we'll probably learn this from Pochettino about like what it was that sold him on the idea. Money, of course. But do you get the same kind of sense that like these international jobs are definitely a different animal than the club jobs?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they have some sort of assurances from Poch and strongly written to the contract, because the big issue here is making sure that he doesn't leave if the Manchester United job shows up in 2 months, right? But again, I think that's what's appealing about the window. I don't know that you get him for a second cycle. However, maybe he becomes enamored with it. And that's the other thing that we've seen with MLS. And, you know, we've seen Giroud come over here and Zlatan and Lionel Messi. There's talk of Griezmann potentially coming over here within the next couple of months, the next 6 months. It's attractive to live in the United States and the money is good. And might you be able to sell him on, hey, let's see how this World Cup goes. And if it goes well, you want to stay for another 4 years? Maybe. But I also think you are going to show the rest of the world that a world-class manager has taken this job, that he's gone to a World Cup on home soil. He hasn't damaged his brand. He hasn't damaged his resume. Because there's virtually no chance that'll happen. Because when the U.S. doesn't do great, the look overseas is, well, I mean, it's the U.S. What do you expect? And hopefully that changes in part because of him, but mostly because of the immense talent that the MLS academies, the young talents that have gone to Europe. What that has started to engender in the soccer community.
How surprised are you that they actually were able to get this done? That not only were they had the intent, like you mentioned, like they oftentimes just hired the guys they know, or you know, whoever they're buddies with from the MLS. So not even just their intent to kind of go after a name like this, but how surprised are you they were actually able to pull it off, assuming, again, all these reports, you know, get announced officially at some point?
Right. And I mean, that'll come down to what we hear from the man himself and what they announce at the press conference. Right now, I'm very surprised. But I also think they are in a unique position. Look, they just hired, it's funny, I retweeted a picture a few minutes ago. They hired Emma Hayes away from Chelsea. Granted, she has some history coaching in the United States at Iona and in the, well, I think it was WPS, what is the NWSL now, more or less. But they just brought an English woman over here who had immense success and led the team, I mean, in 10 games, made the U.S. Women's National Team look back again like the number one team in the world. And that's exceptional stuff. So maybe that worked. Maybe Hayes was able to see some things. It is a perfect storm, too, in the sense that Pochettino worked with Matt Crocker, who is the U.S. something or other. I think it's president.
Technical director, I think.
Technical director, yes. The U.S. soccer, Cindy Cohn is the president. And they had some success with someone from Chelsea, and Crocker worked with Pochettino at Southampton. So if it was going to happen, perhaps this is the perfect storm. And after Crocker went through the whole hiring process and brought Berhalter back, man, I can't imagine doing anything that would look like a whiff on this hire.
Nick Mendola, NBC Sports Soccer. All right, that's the U.S. men's national team side of the story. We have the Premier League starting tomorrow. Manchester United plays Fulham.
Yep.
I know because, for me, that's like a great
bet. It.
I did. I bet a tie just because United.
A tie? Who bets
because,
a draw?
Hold on, because Fulham.
How exciting is that?
Nick, tell me if you like to pick. Fulham is always scrappy. I've learned that. And United is always letting people down. So I feel like a draw to open the season is the perfect match.
Yeah, I think it's possible. They did just get stung. They do have a real game under their belt in the terms of the Community Shield that they played against Man City. And I also think they just signed two of the best players they're going to sign for the whole year, and they obviously won't be available. And it's at Craven Cottage, right?
I think it might be at Old Trafford. I'll double check.
No, I think it's a Craven. I thought it was a Craven Cottage.
Okay.
Yeah, Craven Cottage. No, yeah, it's at Old Trafford. Old Trafford. Old Trafford.
Oh, boy.
I'm getting value.
But I don't love it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, how about the league? I mean, if you look at the odds for the league, the odds would tell you it is a two-team race. I mean, there's City and Arsenal are close behind in the odds.
Then
there's a gap to Liverpool, and then there's a big gap to Chelsea. So I'm not saying two-team race, but the numbers reflect that it really looks like it's two teams that are much closer than anybody else.
Yeah, I do this to Joe every year, so we might as well keep it going. I think it's a three-team race.
Let's go.
If things can work with the new coach. Remember, this is someone coming in, taking over the spot of a legend, instilling a very different style of play than Jurgen Klopp had. This will be a more possession-based team. It'll look less like chaos and more like, more like somewhere between Man City and Arsenal. I don't mean in terms of talent. I just mean Liverpool's going to want to attack more than mm-hmm. we necessarily see from Arsenal on a week-to-week. They're all attacking teams, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Arteta's a little bit more pragmatic. So I think it should be three teams, although I have been almost, I don't want to say astounded, but surprised at how many people I think are picking Arsenal just because they, to me, it seems like they're saying,
they're due.
Well, City can't do this forever.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Like have they made a massive move? Like the talk is always about them needing a striker, and they don't have one, and it's another year of like, oh, well, Jesus will be healthy.
Right. That is a huge part of it. It's also, again, we want to buy into the way we talk about Man City because I think Arteta plays a real system. So you're talking about something where we should treat it with the same respect. So if I say, hey, I expect Haaland to be better in his second year, this is his third year, but you know what I mean, last year, if we expected him to be better, or this year, you know, if we expect Josko Vardiol to be better, then I should expect Declan Rice to be better. And I should expect other signings to be better in how long it'll take Calafiori to catch up to speed there. David Raya in a second year with Arteta should be fantastic. I really think he's up for, I think I made him my preseason best 11 goalkeeper this year, which was saying something. So, but I look at Liverpool and there's still Mohamed Salah. And as much as I loved Klopp, I thought at the end he was leaning on his horses a little too much. It was a little bit of, well, it's Andy Robertson. He's been here forever, so of course he's going to start. You know, I think Gravenberch is going to get a chance to start this year. There isn't going to be a, well, you're Darwin Nunez, so you have to play because of the money we spent, because Arne Slot didn't buy him. So I really think it'll be a three-team race, and it wouldn't shock me if around Christmas there is a one of these other teams in the mix, because I think you can go 12 deep in this league and not find a truly bad team.
Ipswich. You like their odds to knock off Liverpool?
That's Liverpool's first game. Yeah, right. Portman Road, right?
Ipswich Town to win the league is plus 75,000.
Oh, get out of here.
Portman Road, oddly enough, named after D2 enforcer Dean Portman. That's incorrect, if you remember that.
Everyone knows it's named after Natalie Portman, all right? Come on, please.
Obviously.
So Rob Portman, too?
Oh, you're more of a V for Vendetta. You were a big V for Vendetta guy, right?
Oh, till the day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Did I die?
Yes, I love it. No, I will say this. I think they will fight to stay up. I like that they signed Calvin Phillips. He has some experience here. I don't know if that was announced. That was in the news today. Again, maybe I hasn't happened. I don't know how time zones work, but I'm 6 hours ahead of you, so maybe bet on that if it hasn't happened yet. Mm.
He signed there. He's not signed here yet. It doesn't count.
He's not signed in the U.S. yet, right. Of course. That's how time zones work. No, I think Ipswich has a chance to stay up. I think Southampton does as well. Leicester, that'll be the interesting thing to watch this year. They are due, it seems they are due, if we're reading everything correctly, a points deduction. And if that happens, that's going to be hard for them to stay up.
Okay, speaking of points deductions, how naive am I for reading stories about some hearing next month with Manchester City, 115 breaches of financial fair play stuff? How naive am I for thinking that that could actually result in some docking in the standings?
Oh, I don't think that's naive at all. It's going to happen at some point. There has to be some punishment. They are not going to send a four-time defending champion down a division, as much as everybody thinks that will happen. There's so much money involved. There are so many lawyers involved on the Man City side. However, I think it would be completely reasonable for them to dock them more points than we've seen docked from anyone else and say, hey, go ahead and try and stay up. And they will. Because they're fantastic. But the big question I have is, because I half expect there to be a points deduction, I should say. The question I have about Man City is, will they be docked the chance with, hey, you win the Champions League, you can't go back to the Champions League? That is the more interesting question, I think, because they almost have to lose points. They did it to Everton. They did it to Forrest last year. How do you take 115 breaches and not punish them at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that would happen this year?
Depends how big the penalty is going to be.
Okay.
Because if you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And again, I'm speaking completely out of logical inference here, which doesn't always happen in sports, as we know. But I think if you're going to penalize them in a really significant way, then you have to let them. It is sporting, if you take it that way, to say, all right, you know, not unlike the Patriots, hey, right? Like, this is going to be in the next draft. You're losing your first-round pick.
Okay.
Not that there's a mechanism in football, but you need to give them some lead time to properly plan.
Okay. Nick Mendola, thank you, sir, for not getting up early. It's, you know, middle of the day over there. So, you know, thanks for the time. It was great. Looking forward to Premier League season.
Yeah, I'm buzzing. I can't wait for the season to be back. I'm excited about the U.S. men's national team and already caught a couple games over here. It's fun watching them at night.
Yep.
So, I guess I won't come home. Bye, all guys. Right.
Bye, Nick. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Nick sent me a picture. He and his son, Asher, were at Camp Nou, where Barcelona plays. And that's, you know, it's funny. Like, places you've been that have changed the way you look at things.
Yeah.
This is actually not going to be a whole spiel about the Basilica and international cities, which that's all true for Barcelona for me. Going to Barcelona's stadium changed something fundamentally in me, which is this. You could go there when Messi was on the team, and as part of the Hall of Fame there or whatever, there was a Messi shrine there.
While he was playing?
While he was playing.
Yeah.
And it struck me that, of course, that should happen. Of course.
Yeah.
If you go to Kansas City tomorrow, there should be a shrine to Patrick Mahomes in that stadium, on that property. You should not wait until he's done playing. Why do we wait?
That's a good point.
There
if,
should,
if you've already won, like Mahomes has.
If
especially.
You've already become someone that is, I mean, I'm not saying
he's immortal.
Do it for everybody, but way more statues, way more shrines. In Edmonton, there should be a McDavid room where you look at the trophies that he's won.
Yeah.
Why wait until he's done?
Yeah.
And Messi goes on and plays for other teams, and no, who cares? You don't pretend it didn't happen. It struck me right away that, you know, all the golden boot, they're all there. All the jerseys he's worn, the story of him coming up through. Like, it's just, yes, of course we should be celebrating these athletes while they are alive. And by alive, I mean, like, on your team.
Yeah. Or, well, I guess, like, I just thought of Kobe for this, because they're putting up new statues, another statue for him, in front of the, it's not the Staples Center anymore, but whatever it is. And yeah, why shouldn't Kobe have been able to see his, he had 5 championships while he was playing at the end? Why couldn't he have gotten them then? Should there be a Josh Allen shrine at the new stadium then?
Yes. Sure.
See, that one.
That was me saying sure, yes, and cutting it. I didn't swear there. Yeah. Sure, yes.
Do you know what? Imagine if they did that, though. They'd be mocked relentlessly for building him a shrine before winning a Super Bowl, right?
By losers. By complete losers. Total losers.
Yeah, right. Shouldn't you win first, though?
No, you should. No, well, fine.
Shouldn't you win first?
You want to win a Super Bowl? Well, okay. He doesn't actually have any trophies, so he probably doesn't rate. He doesn't have a trophy. He doesn't have an MVP. If Baltimore put up a Lamar area.
Yeah.
2-time MVP.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know who did this?
These things should be more than just something that goes in the guy's house never to be seen again.
Yeah. Do you know who did this?
The Seahawks had a statue to Richard Sherman, which was, of course,
okay,
brilliant. Celebrating
while he was playing there?
I don't know if it was right after, but see when that was put up. It was the play that got them to the Super Bowl. Put a statue up.
Yeah. I can tell you, when was this put up? Here we go. This was this statue on this team while the guy was playing there, I think, was, yeah, I think he was still playing there. Okay, you know who did a statue while the guy was still on the team? This was really funny, too. Did you know there's a statue outside the Eagles Stadium of Doug Peterson and Nick Foles?
They won a Super Bowl.
They won a Super Bowl. Did you know, though, that they did that while they were both still on the team? Because I thought I remembered this. There was this big story at ESPN a couple years ago about how poisonous the Carson Wentz experience had become in their locker room. And part of that story was that Wentz held resentment that every day he had to walk past a statue of his backup quarterback.
Suck it up, man. Win a Super Bowl.
So that's the one time it did happen, but it was with their backup quarterback that they had built a statue for. So he won, though. So I'm not saying that's bad. It's just that, I guess, Wentz didn't like it that much.
Definitely. That's statue-worthy. Yes. You're telling me if the Bills win a Super Bowl, they shouldn't put up a statue of Allen and McDermott embracing immediately?
How cutthroat are the Eagles, by the way, that they fired a coach with a statue outside the building like 2 years after he won? It's pretty cutthroat.
You don't like my Fulham bet?
Fulham at Old Trafford? What were the odds? They were plus odds, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Yeah, by a lot.
Yeah. Big plus odds.
Isn't United one of those teams where they're, like you said, they embarrass themselves? Don't they? Well, they'll lose that game.
They just make people mad.
Yeah. This is the thing about United. If that game's 1-1 in the 89th minute, they're going to sell out to score, and then they're going to give one up. That's how United goes.
The draw's plus 350.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
0-0, you know, shake off the rust early in the season.
Oh, I can't wait for the Premier League. 3 o'clock tomorrow? Three-team race. Let's go. That's what Nick says. Get me in. Slot ball.
I just like that your standard has dropped so far that you are grateful for being included with my team.
I mean,
he is right though. Like, there's the idea that
Liverpool's kind of like the Bills right now.
That anyone's picking Arsenal is like they probably should win one. Bulldog mentioned yesterday. Mike and Chris had the trivia for how many teams have won the Premier League. It's 7. Arsenal has the most second place finishes.
Okay,
congrats.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I guess they've won it a couple.
They've
times.
At least won it.
Yeah, they also had an unbeaten season. That's pretty good.
Only 7 teams have won?
Only 7 teams
have won. No, that
makes
sense. And none of them are Tottenham.
It's only been around since 1992, the Premier League, as it's currently constructed. Which, by the way...
Wasn't Blackburn one of them?
That's right.
There was the two weird ones, Blackburn and then Leicester.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
Here's your book recommendation. Anybody that has started to get into the Premier League and likes it, there's a book called The Club that is about the formation of the Premier League, and it's awesome. It's not just boring how they formed a league. It's stuff in there about television contracts, and my favorite part of it was if you're someone that is of this mind that kind of gets tired of NFL teams and, well, North American sports teams telling stories about how important it is to get along and unwritten codes, and over there it's just like everyone will step over their mother to win a title and they'll backstab and they'll cheat 125 violations, right? Like, what happens? You're going to dock us 12 points? Sorry. We won 4 titles while doing that. Like, it's much more cutthroat, in my opinion. And it's a lot of fun. So, great book. It's called The Club.
Okay.
Highly recommended. Okay. What's next? When we get back, we got to put together our parlay for tonight. Eagles, Patriots. Eagles, Patriots. And I want to make a short list, but I want to make a list. Ben DiNucci.
Yeah?
What he said he was doing, he was planning to do when he got the Bills call. There was no follow-up question. There needed to be a follow-up question. We'll get to that, too.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.